This is Morning Edition. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Congress is hammering out new rules for public schools and federal school funding. The current bill, commonly known as the No Child Left Behind Act, has been controversial because of the way it uses standardized test scores to measure public schools. Changes to the bill have been proposed in both houses of Congress. Today, Federal Education Secretary Arne Duncan is on the line from Washington, D.C. to explain what these proposals could mean for Rhode Island. Good morning, Secretary Duncan.
Good morning. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You've outlined some concerns about the proposals Congress is considering, particularly the House proposal, and you say a lot of money could be at stake for Rhode Island.
Yeah, so first of all, the No Child Left Behind law is broken. It is out of date. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed in a bipartisan way. And what we're seeing coming from both the Republican-controlled House and the Republican-controlled Senate is of huge, huge, huge concern. One of the things that just makes no sense to me is that poorer districts who have the most need could actually see a loss in money with that money going to wealthier districts. And for a state like Rhode Island, over the next 5 years or so in terms of Title I money, that could be as much as $26 million going from the neediest communities to more affluent communities. And that just simply makes no sense to me whatsoever. I have no idea what problem they're trying to solve there. There's no focus on early childhood education, which we think is absolutely critical to be in there. There's no focus on innovation. We want to challenge states to do less testing. That's not in there as well. So it's not too late, but I've been candidly very troubled, very discouraged by what we're seeing coming from the Republicans in both the House and the Senate.
Now, as you say, it's not too late. These bills are still making their way through Congress. What would you like Congress to do with the Elementary and Secondary Education Act or the No Child Left Behind law?
First of all, this is not just an education law. This is a civil rights law. And this goes back to 1965. So a focus on equity is hugely important, really making sure that early childhood education is a big piece of this. We want to see more money for poor districts, more Title I money, not less. A second piece would be a focus on excellence, making sure that we have high standards, making sure that students who graduate from high school are truly college and career ready. And then finally, a focus on innovation.
Secretary Duncan, I want to pick up on something you said earlier. You said you'd like to challenge schools to do less testing. What do you mean by that?
So I think there's a common sense middle ground here. I think students should be assessed annually. I think they need to know how they're doing. Their parents need to know how they're doing. Schools need to know what their strengths and weaknesses are and how to help them. But there are some places that are doing too much testing and too much teaching to the test, too much test prep. I think states like Rhode Island have actually done a pretty good job of trying to work to find that middle ground. But we think there should be a cap on how much states are testing and are challenging Congress to help us get to that point where we are very clear on accountability, where we know where students are having success or not. We know where achievement gaps are being closed. But if there is too much, we should be very thoughtful and challenge that status quo as well.
It's interesting to me that you say you think Rhode Island's doing a good job trying to find a middle ground, because I hear a lot of pushback from teachers and parents that there's just too much testing in our schools, that students are stressed about it.
Yeah, well, again, I think the state, like many states, is at least honestly grappling with the issue, and that's not true everywhere. And you know, I think it's just very important to have an open and a public conversation on this. Usually when people dig into it, only about 25-30% of the testing comes from federal requirements, and usually 65-70% is coming from the district and the state level. But I think teachers and students, you know, rightly don't quite care where it's coming from. Too much is too much.
You know, when I hear education officials and even sometimes principals talking about education today, I hear often terms like systems, outputs, test scores, and not so much about actual children or child development and teaching and learning. I wonder, Secretary Duncan, is it time to shift the conversation in public education?
Well, I think obviously at the end of the day, what every great teacher is trying to do, what every great principal is trying to do is transform students' lives. And I think what all of us can point to in our lives are those amazing teachers who pull things out of us that we didn't even know that we had. And so I don't think these two conversations are mutually exclusive. The focus should always be on teaching and learning. But I also look at a state like Rhode Island where graduation rates are going up, where dropout rates are going down, and that's hugely important. You know so well, if a young person drops out of high school today, they're basically condemned to poverty and social failure. So being very honest about, you know, are those rates going up? Are they going down? Are more young people not just graduating from high school but going on to some form of higher education? So I think there are lots of what I call false debates, false dichotomies in education. Great teaching, engaged students, powerful learning is obviously at the heart of what we're doing. All the focus should be there, but at the end of the day, we need to know whether we're having an impact or not. I look at more students in Rhode Island taking and passing AP classes. That's fantastic. That's, you know, many first-generation college goers. That's exposing them to a world that maybe their parents didn't have those kinds of opportunities.
You mentioned that we've seen improvements in the graduation rate, more students taking AP tests. But despite that, we tend to have a pretty negative view of our public schools here in Rhode Island. Our students regularly score lower than students elsewhere in New England. But you have a broader perspective. How do you see Rhode Island?
You know, no state has this all figured out, and every state has a long way to go, and Rhode Island obviously absolutely does. But I'm always looking at everything at growth, at progress. Our states, they're either stagnant. Frankly, we have some states getting worse, and Rhode Island is a state that is absolutely moving in the right direction. Dropout rates for black students have been cut in half. For Hispanic students have been cut very significantly as well. And so this is not a mission accomplished moment, but the state should take pride in the progress. And the real challenge now is how do you get better faster?
What do you think we should do to continue in the right direction?
The fact of the matter is the fastest improving state in the nation now is Tennessee. And there's never one simple thing that you need to do, but I'll say a couple things that they've done. One is a focus on high-quality early learning. And that's a long-term investment. You won't see those dividends for years, but I think it's the best investment that we as a nation can make in children, in families, and ultimately in our country. You have to continue to increase rigor and build relationships on the K-12 side. So continue to drive up those graduation rates, more AP classes, more dual enrollment, more career and technical education, all those things so students know why they're going to school and see the connection to the real world. I think many young people drop out not because high school is too hard, but because it's either too easy or they're bored. You know, they don't see a purpose for being there. And then finally, the goal can't be high school graduation, but it's got to be some form of higher education. And I was in Delaware yesterday. And Delaware, like Rhode Island, is a relatively small state. But what they've done is they've made a commitment as a state that every senior, regardless of economic status, regardless of income or whatever, every senior who is college ready, they applied to college and they got accepted. It was extraordinary. I don't know of another state that's done that. And now they've got to make sure those young people don't just go to college but ultimately graduate. But it's a huge step in the right direction. So those kinds of lessons, looking at what Tennessee has done, looking at what Delaware has done, and no one has this perfect. Rhode Island should come up with its own strategy. But it has to be comprehensive, cradle, you know, through to career, and you have to sustain it.
Federal Education Secretary Arne Duncan, thank you for sharing your insights this morning.
Thanks so much. Have a great day now.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.